Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Launchpad series. I'm Baldwin Eng from Microsoft. Today, we have an amazing partner called Zoom Data, where they're going to talk to us about how to enable big data visualization and analytics. So with me today is Russ Constantino. Russ, good to have you here.
Baldwin, great to meet you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I know you're coming from Virginia, so I guess sort of an East Coast, because we're actually filming this live with thousands of partners actually not too far away in the convention center in Toronto. And it's a good day. It's an amazing day. We actually have new products and solutions we're providing and rolling out, and with thousands of partners such as yourself. So it's good to actually have you carve out some time and actually walk through with our audience what kind of problems are customers seeing today with big data analytics, especially in like pharmaceutical or retail and marketing kind of verticals. So, so let's jump right in, shall we?
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think what's happening in the world of big data is that lots of companies are running into these huge amounts of data that they're trying to manage. And what's doing is it's creating an opportunity for them to rethink how they manage these big data deployments, because data is just growing at an exponential rate right now.
Absolutely.
And they're moving to these modern data storage environments, which create an opportunity for us to rethink how big data analytics is driven for the enterprise. So in the past, we had this architecture where we'd move data out of a EDW and move it into a proprietary schema. But these new modern data warehouses allow us to take the queries directly to the data. Mm-hmm. And for our customers, they no longer have to build a redundant repository. And security-wise, they don't have to risk putting that data in another location.
Right, right. And what kind of customers, vertical industries, you tend to see more of these kind of, I heard a lot now, like the billions rows of customer data.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely for the enterprise. And we find that companies in the pharma space and government and the ad tech space and retail are all struggling with these big data experiences. So they're all in beginning this journey around a big data solution. And we're here, once they've made that choice on the data environment where they're going to store the data, they look to us then to answer that next question: what do I do with the data when I've deployed it?
Right. That's right.
And that brings up an interesting question, too. So we're seeing, too, is this evolution of different types of data environments, too. So people look at things like Cloudera and Impala and want to leverage fast queries, or they may go to Solr or Elastic because they want to leverage unstructured text or facets or some other way to analyze the data. And with Zoom Data, we connect to all those different data sources. So whether your data sitting in Impala or Solr or Apache Drill, we have those different connectors that bring that data to life. In addition, we can also fuse that data together in a single view for the customer. Hmm. So instead of having 10 different systems to manage 10 different data sources, one system, Zoom Data, can connect to all your data.
So you merge in a single view, but the data is still residing in those other cloud pockets.
And exactly.
It's okay, it's still manageable that way.
Right, right. Yeah. And the data could be in Azure or it could be on-premise. Either way, Zoom Data can connect to both those locations.
Right.
And it creates an opportunity for us, too. So back in the old days, we used to get reports once a day. You know, it'd show up, it'd be a PDF.
Well, or an if you're lucky, you get a day.
But once a day, well, we think that reporting model is done. You know, business can't wait for a 24-hour cycle to get access to their data.
Totally agree.
They want to get to that data right away. So when you think of the real-time streaming architecture that Zoom Data brings to the table and the ability to leverage interactive queries against these big data sets, users now have real-time access to data anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you don't want to wait till the end of the week to see how things are going. If you're in retail, you want to see right away how things go on a daily basis.
Right, right. So think if you're a networking company and one of your routers goes down, you want to figure out what caused that to go down. Or if you're in a retail space and all of a sudden your revenue is declining, why is it declining? You don't want to wait to answer that question tomorrow. You want to get on it today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with that, like how can people solve it? Like how do you break it down? Break the problem down into manageable chunks with your technology.
Yep. So when you think of what we've done is when we started Zoom Data, our heritage is in the BI space. We kind of said there's an opportunity here to kind of reset, an opportunity to really change how people access, consume, and interact with data. So we've built Zoom Data as a server that can install on-premise or in the cloud. We've embedded all these different connectors that connect all these different data sources. And then we use a stream processing engine to pull data from those sources and stream it to the user. Mm-hmm. With the goal of being inspired by these new modern touch devices. So if you're using Windows 10, you can click and push on the screen and you can navigate through the Zoom Data experience without even using a keyboard.
Oh, great, great. That's great to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our company, just a little background. So we were founded in 2012. We've got about 115 employees. A lot of great partners, including Azure and Microsoft. But we work with the data tools like Cloudera, Hortonworks, and MapR because people are moving and investing in these modern data stores. And we do partner with integrators like Deloitte.
Yep, excellent. Mm-hmm. So can you go kind of under the cover of, under the hood, and tell us more what's really underneath your technology?
Yeah, and kind of the first thing to do first is kind of compare what used to be done and how we're proposing it gets done. So in the old days with traditional BI, you basically just report on the data. The data comes out of your EDW, you put it into some sort of proprietary reporting tool, mm-hmm. and then an engineer kind of predicts the questions that people want to ask, like, how much beer did I sell at location A? Right. And those become standard reports that are churned out every day. And some of the key characteristics of those solutions is that you're always moving data from one location to another location, and you're always limiting access to the data too, because that access is determined by an engineer who kind of mm-hmm. predicts what the business user actually wants to get access to. When you think of the future and where we're going now, it's more about data discovery. It's more about giving the user all the access to all the data, of course with limited security requirements based on their privileges, but at the end of the day, it's no longer about just answering questions that you know, it's about exploring the data. It's about answering questions of things you don't know, like mm-hmm. what kind of demographics influence the purchase of beer at my different locations.
Right.
So the big thing that we are able to do that sets us apart is we take the question to the data. Again, these modern data stores are super fast, super performant, so we can query those data sources, get the data results back by taking the question of the data, not to a proprietary store. And what this does is it frees the data. And most importantly, what we do now is that we allow the user to build their own dashboards. So again, instead of calling an engineer and saying, hey, I want to build a report with this dashboard, the business user is now empowered to do their own visualizations.
Right, right. Yeah, and even for ourselves, like in my past jobs, and I also used to work for a telco, mm-hmm. and a lot of conversations sometimes, like, what kind of report do you want, Mr. Marketing Person? Sometimes it's kind of, like, you can put some things together, but I found now with the modern tools, you can actually, as a more casual data user, can go in and actually interrogate and just try to maybe design a hypothesis. This is what I think it would look like and what the data I like the data to be. Mm-hmm. And then of course, like you said, sometimes certain data sets is actually locked down. Then that's when I can actually hand it off to the data analyst and say, okay, I really need this now, maybe another double, triple click in different layers. Can you now build it for me?
Yep.
I think what's helpful is actually turn that ramp up time, compress it, mm-hmm. from kind of the thinking, design, to actual implementation of the report, right?
Yep. And when we think about it, let's look at what's going on. Back to your original question, too, what's kind of driving the changes here? Well, think what Azure's doing is it's creating a data storage marketplace where people mm-hmm. can move their data into Cloudera or Horton or MapR, Spark, Cassandra, MemSQL, Solr. Mm-hmm. You've now got this platform where you can move data out of those legacy systems and into the Azure marketplace and, of course, right. have access to SQL and MySQL. Now, what Zoom Data does is it applies an application layer on top of all that, and Zoom Data connects to all these different data sources. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not just limited to what's in Azure, it can also be in your on-premise environment too.
Right.
But one of the cool things we have are these smart connectors that are really optimized for the various characteristics in these data sources. So we're super performant based on what those data sources bring to the engine. We support stream processing and also analytics. So analytics from the standpoint that you're not only the user can now decide what types of results or what types of reports that they want to produce analytics on, as opposed to, again, having someone else write some sort of query and send that back to you.
Right, that's right.
And security is really important to Zoom Data too. So because we're limiting the data movement, because we're keeping the data where it is, we don't end up with pockets of information across the enterprise that can then be compromised by a third party.
Right.
Our customers are now spending, you know, millions of dollars on these new modern data sources that are super performant. What we're saying is let's keep that investment going because it's secure and it's fast.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the gentleman we just talked to prior to this particular episode talked to us a lot about the work and the cost required when it comes to maybe a litigation consideration or auditing. Sometimes if you're too exposed, the data sources are replicating too fast and fragmented all over the place. It's actually really hard to actually manage and control your bottom line because you might actually have a penalty on not able to provide those kind of data sources to the governments and other type of agencies.
And the last thing any of our customers wants to do is be on the front page of the Wall Street Journal because data's been compromised, because they saved a buck or did something the old way. This new way helps to limit that from happening.
Yeah.
And of course, most importantly, all this infrastructure runs on Microsoft Azure. Mm-hmm. So with Zoom Data, it's a one-click deployment. So you go ahead and start Zoom Data, you build the connections to those data sources, and you can be up and running in a matter of hours.
Great. Well, I'm now really itchy. I'm sure the audience too love to see it. So why don't we get started in the demo, huh?
Sounds great.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so let's go ahead and talk a little bit about how the Zoom Data interface works.
All right.
Here we're logging in through a web browser to the Zoom Data server. Mm-hmm. And again, everything in Zoom Data is web-enabled, so there's no downloads, there's no third-party applications, nothing that runs directly on the desktop. Everything's right. enabled through a browser.
Yeah.
Whether you're on a touch device or whether you're on a web browser, it's mm-hmm. the same user experience. So we're not right. training people to use a phone differently than how they would interact on the web
right,
the Zoom
right.
Data site.
And it looks like you're running an Edge browser in this case on Windows 10.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So let me first jump into a real-time data set. So what we've done is created an environment that emulates a department store, and we have all these different categories that a department store mm-hmm. may have.
Right.
And you notice on the bottom that there's changes in the data
sets. Yeah, they've been refreshed as time goes, right?
So this
yeah.
is a stream processing engine in action. Mm. And what I'm looking at right now is the data DVR in the very bottom. And notice when I scroll to the left, we start looking at data in a different time frame.
I see.
And what I can also do is I can pause this data, and maybe I want to refresh it and look at an hour per second, and it'll go ahead and redraw all the data too.
Gotcha.
So when you are looking at problems that might happen in a network or a retail store, you want to kind
you
of
want
isolate.
To fine-tune it into a smaller resolution, or finer resolution,
mm-hmm.
so you can find out why there's a drop, because of availability of servers or whatever that might be. Right?
Exactly, yeah. exactly. Yeah. And you know, I'll just show the touch if I want to look at mm-hmm. change a chart type, or I want yeah. to export data,
right.
Or change colors, or mm-hmm. filters.
Right.
Say what I want to do is filter on states. Maybe what I want to do is exclude states that begin with the letter C.
Mm-hmm.
And notice I'm just using my finger here.
Yeah.
And
right.
I hit apply, and it goes ahead and redraws all the data.
Yeah.
But I can also come here and zoom in on a particular category and say I want to zoom in by user income.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, look, there's only 27 records here.
Right.
Say I want to look at a wider sample, so I can take my data DVR again, and I can slide it to the left, and I can expand the window.
Yeah.
And more data will pop up in
right.
the window.
Right. And all of this is actually accessing a different set of cloud databases that are not really on the same location. Right?
Exactly. That's,
yeah.
that's possible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So here I have multiple data sets, and I can just keep adding in different visualizations from these different data sets. And if I wanted to, I could, say, filter jewelry and filter the bar chart on that. And go ahead and apply. And it'll go ahead and update the bar chart for
mm-hmm.
that selected data set. Oops, I selected one that didn't seem to have any data at that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
But let's keep moving. So now let's launch into another demonstration, and this is looking at data sitting in a search database, Solar
mm-hmm.
database.
Yeah, for hotels, right?
Yeah, for hotels, and it's data collected from TripAdvisor. So within a search database, I can do unstructured text search by just entering in the information there. You can see out of 250,000 records, we got 199,000 hits. As I expand on this one particular record, I see the freeform text, but I also see these column headings. And these column headings are essentially facets. So I can look on things like hotel stars,
mm-hmm.
and every time I select on a hotel star or on a particular city, you can see all the dashboards are updating accordingly. And in fact, if I wanted to, I could come into London and I could zoom in again on the hotel stars. And I see I've got three that I had selected here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also come into the details and select on details, and I get all the information. And I can expand on that, and I can
you
export
see the
it
review
as well.
Text, yeah.
Exactly,
gotcha. Right.
exactly.
So you can basically zero in on like why certain hotels or hotel types or room types are getting 2 stars or less, so you can start seeing real data. But it's all very responsive. They all just show up on your right-hand side pane right there, right?
Exactly. And
yeah.
this can be updated in real time
mm-hmm.
or once a day or how often
yeah.
it's important
awesome.
To your team. So one last thing I want to highlight, and then this is just the power of big data. So here within Zoom Data, we also have the ability to co-brand. So I'm just showing a Cloudera co-branded
mm-hmm.
site.
Yeah.
And this is a database of a billion records.
Mm-hmm.
And as we launch this database, I want you to first take a look at here. It says it's reading.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is we're running queries to the Cloudera database.
Right.
Now notice as I hover over Texas that it's updating.
Yeah.
And that's because we're doing more updates to the database. So it came up with this initial estimate, and it's completing its visualization. But since I'm impatient and I kind of get a sense that Texas is probably going to be pretty big,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to just go ahead and just start my navigation and
right.
go down into the
district
Dallas
level.
Area. Right.
Yeah.
And look
right.
what's happening again. So now I'm looking at this level and I can see the counts are updating again.
Mm-hmm.
So this hasn't completed reading, but you know what's missing here is that hourglass.
Mm-hmm.
So the old tools would take hours to mm-hmm. do these kinds of queries.
Right.
And you get an hourglass spinning
right.
and spinning and spinning. With Zoom Data, we leverage microqueries to go ahead and burst queries against all the nodes in the cluster.
I see. So you get bursts of new sets of data. That's why by the time you actually hover over again, it looks like it's already
ran to completion. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, so that's a billion rows of data that we just showed on this notebook all within 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Old tools would take hours to do the exact same type of analysis.
Great, great. Phenomenal stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. So with that, thank you for this demo. How can the audience get started?
Sure. So go visit Zoom Data. Visit the zoomdata.com page, and you'll find access to a lot of information about the product and the tools. Also recommend that you go to the demo page, and the demos we just showed are mm-hmm. available on that demo page.
Oh, I see. Excellent.
And then for developers, please visit the Zoom Data developers page. So that's where you have access to all of our APIs, and you can build custom applications within the Zoom Data interface. And we're also on the Azure Marketplace, so just search for Zoom Data. And our recommendation is if you're going to just demo and test the product, use a 4-core 16-gig machine. But once you start entering production, use a 16-core 16-gig machine. And Zoom Data does have a 30-day free trial on the Azure Marketplace.
Great. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Russ.
Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate coming over.
Appreciate it.
I hope you have a great rest of the World Partner Conference as well in Toronto.
Will do. It's been really good so far.
Yeah, and look forward to seeing you here next time when you have more innovation coming. I'm sure we can have a chance to talk to some new features as well.
Great. Thank you.
Right. So with that, here's another Launchpad series from the Channel 9. I'm Baldwin Ng. Look forward to hearing you from the next time. If you want more, go to ak.ms/launchpad where you can see 40 plus shows available on demand anytime. Thank you.